We appreciate our men leading us in worship. And Stan Morgan was proud of you. He'd be very proud of you today. I want you to go back with me for a moment. I want you to think about the conflict of the ages. It's between good and evil. It's between God and the devil. It's between righteousness and unrighteousness. And we're in one of these camps today. We're only two camps, and we're in one of them. I want you to think about the victory of a righteous life. You're going to see the power that resides in a righteous life. You're going to see the effect, the influence, what happens. The Holy Spirit did not waste his breath. He did not waste his inspiration. He did not waste his illustrations and his directions that he's given in the Word of God when he talked about righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a disgrace to any people. His principle is true. And then the principles he's tried to teach us is very important. So he's not wasted his effort, because what he's given us is a roadmap for victory, if we'll listen to it and if we'll follow it. When we submit our lives to the Lord, let him be the Lord of our lives. He places his righteousness upon us. He lives through us. Amazing things can be accomplished. So I'd like to take you back to this conflict of the ages. You see the armies of God and you'll see the armies of the devil. 1 Samuel 17, beginning verse 1 to 3, look at that scene. On this side, there are the armies of the devil, the armies of the Philistines. But David will tell you in his tremendous insight that the armies of Israel are the armies of the living God. So these armies are the armies of the devil, the Philistines. They're fighting for the side of darkness, evil, and unrighteousness. And over here on this side is the army of the living God, the armies of the living God, Saul and the Israelite men. They're on this mountain. Over here on this mountain is the Philistines. And between them is the Valley of Elah. It's about 100 yards wide. So if you could imagine a football field and two teams poised to come down on the gridiron and do battle. We might even could call that valley the swamp. I don't know. No, I don't. Not, maybe I better not get into that. But here are the two teams that are going to come down and do battle in the valley. Okay? Now in verses 4 to 7, we're introduced to the soldiers. And representing this army, the army of darkness, is their champion. And so the Bible says that a champion came down from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath. If you remember your Bible history, remember the spies went out of the land. They spied out the land, the promised land. They came back with a report that there are giants in Gath. Here's one of them. And I don't have Tim Thomas with me this morning, do I? So I was going to use Tim. He always has to play Goliath, but he's not here. But if you could imagine Tim standing up there, this is only about 2 feet tall. Tim is 6 feet nine. Goliath was 9 feet nine. The Bible says his height was 6 cubits. That's 18 inches in measurement. Times six, and then you add a span. He's about 9 feet nine. Tim would be standing here, and he would only be about 8 feet nine. Goliath would still be a foot taller. Now, David was a very average size. He was but a youth in this great struggle. But anyway, here's Goliath. Now, if that's not imposing enough, the Bible says that he has a bronze helmet on his head. Several years ago, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish came to Legion Field, Birmingham, Alabama. I had a chance to be there on that sunlit day. It was a beautiful day. I was seated the very last seat up on the top in the upper deck, if you've been there. You couldn't see a lot from there, but I could see when Notre Dame came out for warm-ups. They all gathered together under the goalpost, jumping up and down, and then they split apart and they circled the field. Those gold helmets, sun glistening on those helmets, and they circled the field. And somebody said to me, he said, that symbolizes they own that field. They do that wherever they go. Even though it's the enemy's field, they own it. And there they were. Well, can you see Goliath with that bronze helmet, the sun glistening off of it? But that's not all. He had this armor on. It was scaled armor. Protects his vital organs. And that armor weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. That's about 200 pounds. Now, Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He weighed 500 pounds. He's walking around with clothing of armor that weighs about 200 pounds. There he stands. But that's not all. He had these gleaves on his legs, bronze gleaves. These are the shin guards, like soccer players would understand. Only they're made out of bronze. And he had a javelin slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. It's like holding a telephone pole for a spear. The head of that spear weighed 600 shekels of iron, about 25 pounds. Can you imagine the specimen of a man as he's up there towering over David? He's, once we see the scene of young David coming out to him, can you just imagine what David would be looking up at? Before him went his shield carrier, and the shield carrier would deflect any arrows, and he came down, and the Bible says that he's now going to taunt. He's going to defy the armies of the living God. He stood and he shouted. Now you are in the armies of the living God. And he is shouting to you, because Paul clearly taught that in Romans 15:4. These things are not written for a story, not written just to illustrate. These things are written for our learning, to illuminate our knowledge, to embolden our stand. He's speaking to you, but he's not just speaking to you, he's shouting to you. I read in verse 16 that he did that for 40 days. The morning and night he will come down and he will shout. Do you remember Jesus after his baptism? What happened? Right after his baptism, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the devil would even defy the Son of God. He would even taunt the Son of God. What do you think he's going to do to you? You're no match for him. He's not intimidated by you. And so Goliath comes down and he shouts to them, why are you gathered in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and you're the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves to come down and fight with me. Listen to him. He is defying the armies of the living God. He's taunting them. He said, if he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. If I prevail against him and kill him, then you'll be our servants and serve us. And again, the Philistine says to them, I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that I may fight with him. Now you're among the group. You're among the army of righteousness. How are you going to respond? I tell you how the army responded according to the Holy Spirit. Here is Saul and all Israel, and when they heard the words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And you can just end the story right there. I guarantee you can end the story right there if it wasn't for one who comes on the scene. You can wrap the whole thing up because this is the battle of all ages represented right here. The Holy Spirit's marvelous that way. He can give you a picture and bring so much meaning into that picture in such a simplified way. But this is the conflict of the ages. But verse 12 is in the Bible. Praise God. Now David, the son of Ephrathite from Bethlehem in Judah, the son of, or his name was Jesse, his father's name was Jesse, had eight sons. Now David is the youngest of the eight sons. The three eldest sons, they've already followed Saul into battle. They're gathered there in the army in battle array. There's Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah. They're gathered there. David has been spending his time singing songs for the king and shepherding his father's flocks, his sheep. He's the youngest. He's but a youth. His father calls him. He gives him grain and provisions. He sends him to the battlefield to bring food and check on things and bring back a message to him. How is his brothers doing? And so he comes to the battlefield. But while he's there, here's what he hears and here's what he sees. These two armies are gathered in battle array on these hills. He hears the war cry. He sees this Philistine come down and he hears his taunt. See the sneer on his face. Hear the sarcasm from his voice. I defy the ranks of Israel. He hears all of that. He turns. He starts talking to the soldiers. He's inquisitive. What is going on here? They tell him, Saul has offered great reward if anyone will fight that Philistine. He'll be rich. He can marry the king's daughter. He'll not pay any taxes, nor his family. But David also saw something else. When that Philistine challenged the army of God, they shrank back. They retreated in fear. He is seeing the fighting men of God quaking in their fighting boots. And he is dismayed. What is going on? Well, his brother Eliab hears these things. He's the eldest. And he challenges David, verse 28. He criticizes David, as Chris read for you a moment ago. Why have you come down? And who have you left to care for those few sheep back in the wilderness? He said, I know your heart. He even called it a wicked heart. You've just come down here to see the battle. You want to see the gory sight. Listen to me a moment. When you decide you're going to be a soldier of righteousness, you're going to stand alone, look closely, because you're going to be ridiculed. All kinds of creative ways folks are going to ridicule you. When you decide you're going to excel, you're not going to be satisfied with the average or the get by. Mediocre is not for you. You're going to rise above the level of mediocrity. People are going to challenge you. They're going to come at you with all kinds of ridicule. Listen closely. It was his brother. His own brother's doing that to him. A little later in history, God's own son will come. And he wants to rise above the level of mediocrity because he wants to be our Savior. He's going to live a perfect life. Only a truly righteous man, in that sense, who ever lived. In that perfect sense. You know who turned on him? His own brothers, his own family, even his own community. But listen, how many times have I heard people with tears in their eyes, just this past week, another illustration. And you know who deflated them and who discouraged them the most is their own brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church, discourage them the most. But listen, David will not be stopped. He says, and I like it in the King James Version in verse 29. He says, is there not a cause? Well, the men hear about it. They go over to King Saul and they tell just what's going on with this young guy that showed up, this youth, and what's been happening. And Saul summons him. And in verse 32, David volunteers to go and fight Goliath. He says, don't let any of the men's heart faint on account of him. I'll go and fight with the Philistine. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that David, who's not a soldier, you'll see that in a little while, he doesn't know how to put on the armor. He can't handle the sword. He doesn't know how to deal with all that. He's a shepherd boy. Why is it that this young person is willing to go and fight and all these fighting men are not? And Saul, why is he not the one who's volunteered? Because you see, Saul stood head and shoulders above all the rest of his men. He's a trained soldier. He's tactical. He understands all the nuances of battle. He's the leader of his people. Why is he not going down to fight Goliath? And why is David willing to go? I want to tell you, there's a very simple answer. The Spirit has left Saul because he's chosen the path of darkness. He's chosen the path of selfishness. He's full of self, and he knows as sure as anything, when he goes down to fight against the devil without the Lord being with him, he's dead. He has every right to be filled with fear, and so do you and so do I, if we're trying to fight against the devil without the Lord with us. Because we are no match for him at all. But David is full of faith because God is with him. And he will teach one of the most valuable theological lessons that Goliath would have been wise to have listened to in just a moment. And so would we. Saul says in verse 33 to David, he says, you can't fight against this Philistine. See, you're but a youth. Hey, tonight's youth night. Our young Davids are going to be standing up here tonight, and I know that you're going to come and encourage them. It's a highlight of our quarter, fifth Sunday night. He says, you're but a youth, but a young person. And he is a warrior from his youth. Listen to what David does. He helps Saul's vision. Saul's blurred by these human limitations. He's blurred by the fact that the Spirit's not with him. He knows exactly where he's been. He knows exactly what he's been doing. He's no match for Goliath. David helps him, though, because David goes back to the past victories, right? You know, someone said, and I borrowed from him, he said, we tend to write our victories in water. Charles Haddon Spurgeon's words. Tend to write our victories in water. What happens when the wave comes? You know, you forget those victories. We tend to write our victories in sand. Little wind comes and it's gone. But our defeats, oh, they're right there glaring at us. They're like they're in bronze. Always yelling at us. There's our defeats. I can't do it. I can't do it. David goes back in his reservoir of I can do. Let me tell you about this, King Saul. He said, your servant was tending his father's flocks, his sheep, when a lion and a bear came and took one of the lambs from the flock. And I rose up and went after him and attacked him. And I rescued the lamb from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I grabbed him by his beard and I struck him and I killed him. Your servant has killed a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them who has dared to defy or speak against the armies of the living God. God, the Lord, has delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine. And Saul says, go. And listen, this gives you the insight. You know exactly what Saul was understanding. What was not in his life. The Lord be with you. So David is going to be put through this little show that Saul's going to do. Let me put my kingly clothes on you, I guess so you look good, I don't know. But Saul is way taller than David. David can't fit into Saul's clothes. No. He wants to put on his clothing of armor, but you see, he fails to realize that David's already clothed with a breastplate of righteousness, He wants to give him a bronze helmet to match that one like Goliath. No, I don't need it. I already have the helmet of salvation, you see. He tries to walk around. He can't. I've never tested this. He lays it all aside. He goes in his own clothing. He goes just like he is. He's real. He's transparent. He's a shepherd boy. He takes his stick. He takes his sling. He takes his little pouch. He fills it with the stones. He goes out to meet Goliath, and Goliath is insulted. He insults David. He hurls those insults at David. You're coming out with me with a stick. David speaks back to him, verse 45. Listen. Young people of all ages, take strength in David. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin. Mistake number one, Goliath. You know, we learned that earlier in the month. 2 Corinthians 10:4, like Mike would say in the police here, 10:4. 2 Corinthians 10:4, our weapons are not carnal. They're not flesh. They're not a sword and a spear and a javelin. Our weapons are divine power. There's great strength there to pulling down strongholds, destruction of fortresses, the slaying of giants, you see. You understand? Goliath, you've made a colossal mistake. You brought the wrong weapons to the wrong war. This is a nuclear battle, and you're going to try to fight it with a sword, a spear, a javelin. Listen to what David says. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord's going to deliver you into my hands. I'm going to strike you. I'm going to remove your head from you. I'm going to give the soldiers, the armies of Philistines, I'm going to give them to the birds of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, so that all of the earth shall know there's a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not deliver with a sword, with a spear, for the battle is the